The Organic Federation of Canada is pleased to present the Organic Science Conversations, a series of podcasts presenting the researchers of the Organic Science Cluster 3, a five-year project of 27 research activities in organic agriculture in Canada.
So our climate is changing rapidly, and governments around the world, are, including our own, are seeking ways to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And agriculture is recognized as both an important contributor to greenhouse gas emissions, but also as a potential sink. Today, we're exploring how we might better understand the role of organic agriculture in greenhouse gas emissions. I'm Andy Hammermeister, and I'm the director of the Organic Agriculture Centre of Canada at Dalhousie University. And today I'm really happy to be speaking with my colleague, Dr. Peter Tidemarsh, who is a professor in the School of Resource and Environmental Studies, also at Dalhousie University. Welcome, Peter.
Thanks. It's nice to join you on what, as I understand it, may be your first official podcast.
It is my first podcast. I'm really excited about it. And thanks for being my guinea pig. And so looking forward to doing more of these. So Peter, what kind of research have you been doing at Dalhousie University?
Wow. Okay. I've been here almost 20 years now, and it's varied. Sometimes it varies because of students' interest or the opportunities that come along, but I'd say much of my work has revolved around food systems through, a lens or a motivation to understand their material and energy performance. So things like how much energy in fossil fuels or electricity are we investing into these systems? How much other materials do we have to invest into food systems? And how do those investments of material and energy translate into large or medium scale concerns that we have around environment? Things like eutrophication, you know, the over delivery of nutrients into ecosystems, that would be one sort of phenomena that we can understand with these sorts of approaches that I like to use, or as you've raised, greenhouse gas emissions. So I didn't start off exclusively as a scholar of food systems and their life cycle impacts, but I've realized over time that that is where much of my passion, interest, and expertise has brought me.
And so organic sector leaders, they've been working hard to try and identify how the organic sector is impacting climate change and whether we have a net positive or net negative effect. And one of the things that we're lacking is data. And so one of our top priorities is to better understand how organic agriculture and its practices are influencing greenhouse gas emissions or perhaps mitigating those emissions. And this kind of leads us to the research activity that you're involved in right now. And just a little bit of background, in 2018, the Organic Federation of Canada and the Organic Agriculture Centre of Canada here at Dalhousie, we launched the Canada's third organic science cluster. And you are the leader of one of the research projects under the theme of environment in that cluster. So can you tell us a little bit about what this project is about?
Sure, absolutely. So the project is part of the Organic Science Cluster 3 that I'm involved with, is in conjunction with two colleagues based at other institutions in Canada, Dr. Goretti Diaz at the University of Waterloo, and Dr. Nathan Peltier at UBC in Okanagan. So we are working together to understand what we describe as the net greenhouse gas emissions associated with organic field crop production. So we are not super prescriptive right now about which crops we are specifically exclusive about. We are trying to gather as much data as we are going to be able to, so that we can say as much about as many field crops like corn, soy, canola, wheat, potatoes, and their net greenhouse gas emissions when they are cultivated under organic management practices. We want to say as much about those field crops as we can in as many different ways as we can. So to the extent that there may be differences that are result because of where they are grown in Canada. Maybe there are differences that result from the size of farm, potentially. These are questions that we would love to know, and it will, you know, our success in being able to say something about these, I guess, more granular or finer grained aspects of the emissions associated with organic field crop production is going to depend on how much data we're ultimately going to be able to secure from farmers.
So when you bring this onto a farm and you're trying to assess all of the greenhouse gas emissions that have been contributing to a farm management system, how do you break it down? Like, it seems like a huge job. Do you start like at a whole farm level? Do you start by just looking at the whole production system associated with a single crop? Do you look at a sequence of crops, like a crop rotation? Where do you start with it?
The level of analysis, way we want to meet with and engage with farmers, is about understanding information about key inputs to their farming operations, not just in what did you do last year, but to the extent that they have the capacity to tell us about their rotation over the last 3 or 4 years and average rates of fertilizer input, fuel input, other key operating inputs. Maybe if they're irrigating, what's the energy that they're using to irrigate? So we're trying to get as much information about not only what was invested in terms of inputs this past year, but going back in time, and what resulted from those inputs. So how much corn was produced, how much wheat was produced, how much soy was produced in those different years. I guess coming back to your original question and thinking about it this way, there are two sets of insights that we're looking for from farmers, and that's what are those operating inputs that they control, that they have an awareness of, that they have to purchase and use, and then what results from that. And those are the sorts of details that we want to capture for the LCA side of it. But then we also need to understand something about where they're located. What is the nature of the soil profile? What's the history of the soil that they are working? What's the rate of precipitation? Is it being watered additionally? Because all of these factors can influence the relative flux, the relative change in carbon into the atmosphere or into the soil, and the nitrous oxide into the atmosphere. That is also important to think about in this. So we need to ask a number of things of farmers, but then we also rely on insight from other contextual aspects of where the farm is located and what's the soil like, what's the history of use on that soil, is it at or near its carbon sequestration capacity? Is it a highly carbon depleted soil and then more likely to be sequestering more than it would otherwise be? Again, I'm afraid I was long-winded.
No worries. I think, you know, it's really interesting. You've expressed the complexity of the whole system. If we're trying to truly understand the total impact on greenhouse gas emissions, or if we're tying up or sequestering the greenhouse gases in the soil, it's very complex. And so right down from the energy cost of producing a bolt that goes into a piece of equipment to understanding the soil and how it is cycling nutrients and releasing carbon dioxide or nitrous oxide to the atmosphere, or maybe even holding those things, especially the carbon. So so in terms of the data, I mean, clearly you don't have hundreds of students going out and measuring all of these things on the farms, and you're relying on different models, I guess, to help you with predicting these impacts. Is that correct?
Yeah. Exactly. You know what? If we were the very first people in the world that wanted to understand these questions about, you know, how do farmers in Canada, organic farmers in Canada, how do their operations contribute to greenhouse gas emissions, we would be asking about everything. Every, you know, how many bolts? How frequently do they fall out? But we know something from the fairly substantial history of very similar work that has been done in other places that allows us to identify the aspects of management, farm management, that in other places have had the greatest consequence for net greenhouse gas emissions. So one of the first things that one of the research assistants on our project did over the past year was reviewed all of the literature, the published literature, where life cycle assessment has been used to characterize the emissions of organic farms and organic farms producing field crops. And in the work that Nicole did, she ended up pulling together, I think, about 20 studies, if I recall correctly, and then systematically went through to identify the activities that we know from those existing studies have had the greatest impact on resulting greenhouse gas emissions. So we're using experience from elsewhere to help inform, to, I guess, prioritize the sorts of things that we end up asking Canadian farmers about, so that we don't spend time on hundreds of questions that are really difficult to answer, that we focus the time of our students and, more importantly, the time that farmers have to help us on the questions that matter most. So we won't be asking farmers about how many bolts and what the size and weight was of those bolts, because bolts don't matter, as it turns out, based on prior research. It's going to be things like, what is the source of the nutrients? How much nutrients were being deposited this year, last year, the year before? How much fuel is used? What's the nature of the soil? And the soil flux aspect of it is probably the one area that makes me the most, in some ways, I'm interested. I'm particularly interested because it's less familiar with me, and I know a lot of our colleagues at Dalhousie spend a lot of their time thinking about soil dynamics, soil fertility, you know, flux across the atmosphere soil boundaries. So for me, it's that's something that I can maybe learn from them, but it's also incredibly variable over place.
So you're using this example of nutrients. If you look at conventional agriculture, what we often hear is that 40% of the energy costs, or maybe even 50% of the energy costs of the farming system, or at least the production side, is related to producing or manufacturing fertilizers, and especially nitrogen fertilizer, and to a lesser extent pesticides. In organic agriculture, there's a lower likelihood that we're using any of those manufactured, or we shouldn't be using those manufactured fertilizers and pesticides, but we might be looking at alternative sources such as pelletized poultry manure or some compost. So in your study, you would be evaluating the amount of pelletized poultry manure or compost that's being used and assessing potential greenhouse gas costs and emissions from those practices. Is that correct?
That's right. They are nutrient dense. They have real value. They support the productivity of a farm. Without it, yields would be far lower. So these are critical inputs, but they also don't appear through magic fairy dust. They are generated through real physical processes somewhere else in the world. They may be on the farm next door, they may be down the road, they may be at whatever distance. And it's not so much the distance that matters, but they had the concentration of biologically available nutrients in those sorts of products that you just described that are appropriate to use on an organic farm did result in, their production did result in greenhouse gas emissions of some form somewhere. And so we will absolutely not only be interested in knowing how much of those nutrient carriers were being used on these farms, but then we'll have to think about, all right, how are we going to characterize the emissions associated with making poultry manure available? The good news is, as I was describing earlier, we don't have to necessarily go out and characterize poultry farms in Canada because, as it turns out, one of our collaborators on this project, Nathan Pelche at UBC, has done a great deal of work on Canadian poultry farms. So we, as it happens, just because you pick that form of, manure as an input, we already know quite a bit about the inputs and outputs and greenhouse gas emissions associated with poultry production in Canada. And one of the co-products of poultry production would be manure, which could then find a fate on an organic farm. So the nice thing is we don't have to work from scratch all the way through these supply chains.
So that's really cool that you don't have to gather all of that data yourself, that you have that already. But there are, what you do need is to understand how many farmers are using the poultry manure, as an example, and how much they're putting on and where they might be getting it from. And that kind of leads me to asking you, like, how can, clearly this research, you've mentioned it a couple times already, depends on the data that you collect from the farmers. And so how can farmers get involved in your project?
The clearest and most important role for farmers in our project would be being willing to work with one of the members of our team, and that's not only the three of our, I guess, co-PIs that I've mentioned, but we have right now four research assistants that are working for us this year, and three of those will be continuing on as graduate students with us. Over the next 2 years, they would work with us by being open to sharing data about their inputs and outputs. The more detail that they are able to bring to bear in terms of specifics in their record keeping, so much the better. But even when farmers may not have complete and detailed records, in my experience, farmers and other resource producers, fishermen, aquaculturists, they can ballpark you pretty well. So even if you don't know, if a farmer doesn't know how many tons of pelletized manure was used exactly last year, but they know how many truckloads came onto the farm because they hauled it, we can work with that. So we'll work with any, I guess, level of detail and specificity that farmers are able to make available as long as they're willing to participate. So how would they get involved? The best thing would be to reach out to either myself or Goretti Diaz at Waterloo or Nathan Peltier or to one of our RAs. Now I'm realizing, gosh, it would be so nice to have a really easy URL to just say, hey, go to tinyurlx. We don't have that set up right now. Basically, it would be, get in touch with one of us and we will sign you up. And then our plan is to work with farmers on their schedules. Right now, we're recording this in early June 2020, and farmers are busy. This is not probably a good time for them to share a whole bunch of information about what they did last year and the year before. we're happy to basically delay and work on the schedule that makes most sense with farmers.
So Organic Science Cluster 3 does have a website, a dedicated website, and there is a dedicated page to your activity, activity number 29, and so under the theme of environment. So we can certainly put your contact information and any survey information onto that page, and people, anyone who's interested can see any news or results, any communications that are coming from your research program on that page as well. So basically, we're looking for the more farmers, the better, to get involved, that are involved in field crops. So you're talking about the grains and oil seeds and potatoes as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think really important, as I've come to understand in different parts of the country, in rotation with some of those other more, the cereals that you mentioned. So absolutely. If you think of yourselves as a potato producer and you may grow them in rotation with other things or not, that's great too.
And so one thing is, a lot of farmers are looking for practical research about soil fertility and controlling pests. And so how do you think your research will impact organic agriculture in Canada?
Really, our benefits of our project will be providing an understanding that is right now absent in terms of how do organic practices in Canada that produce field crops contribute to climate change? What's the scale of that contribution? Does it vary tremendously with region? Does it vary with perhaps years of experience? Does it vary with the how long a soil has been in organic management? We suspect that it may vary with those sorts of phenomena. Certainly regionally it will, because of differences in soil type and precipitation. But the benefit, I believe, comes from being more able to be part of the conversation in Canada about what your sector represents in terms of where it is now on this globally important issue. And as importantly, I think, point to where specific practices in organic production could be improved or altered that would result in lower emissions. One of the things that we articulated in our proposal was, if we have enough understanding about the diversity of management practices in organic in Canada, it will ideally point to those practices that are less emitting than others. And that could be, that would then highlight strategies that might allow other farmers to migrate in those similar directions. You know, what you can't do is you can't change where your farm is located. You can't change in a bulk sense, maybe the broad composition of your soil, except on a more incremental basis through, efforts to, improve or change soil fertility. But there are a lot of other things, a lot of other management practices that are absolutely within the domain of control of producers, which if they are, from a revenue perspective, relatively neutral, could point up some really important opportunities for emission reductions.
Yeah, and I think that's where you've really highlighted it nicely, is that, we need to first understand these systems and their contributions to greenhouse gas emissions and or as a sink, and before we can start adopting new practices. And that's what we're chronically lacking in our sector in Canada, is data that helps us to inform our decision making and recommendations to improve practices. So I think that this research is really, really important, and will have a big impact on the sector in terms of guiding us down a pathway to greater sustainability, which is what organic is all about. And so I thank you, Peter, and your colleagues for all of the hard work that you've been doing on this project. And I do want to acknowledge that this research is being supported by the AgriScience Program under Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada's Canadian Agricultural Partnerships, and over 70 partners are contributing funding towards the science cluster. So the results of this research and all of the research involved in our science cluster can be found at www.dal.ca/OACC and click on the Science Clusters tab. And so, Peter, thank you very much for taking the time today. And I know you're a busy person and we both have other meetings that we need to get to. So thanks for your time and look forward to talking with you again when we have some more results coming in.
Andy, you're very welcome. A great pleasure. And I hope that this was a good kickoff to your new podcast series.